Brothers and sisters, on this cold but beautiful morning, I bid you good morning and welcome. Welcome to the worship of God, the creator of every single thing, the one who created you and every single part of you. So this morning, I bid welcome to each and every one of you and to every single part of you. Welcome to the part of you that is holy and spiritual and brimming with faith, and to the part of you that carries temptations, doubts, or even fears. Welcome to the part of you that is all dressed up and prepared and ready for worship today, and to the part of you that you rarely let others see. Welcome to the part of you where you celebrate the joy and beauty and all life has to offer, and to the part of you that is burdened or sorrowful or weeping. Welcome to each and every one of you and to every single bit of you. For you in your entirety are God's beloved. You in your entirety are a gift to this church. And here in this space, God invites each and every one of us to bring our whole selves, that we might be fed, that we might find hope, and that every single part of us might leave here transformed. Friends, I bid you welcome to worship here this morning. I would invite anyone who has an announcement to make to come forward at this time to make that announcement. While they're doing so, I have a couple of announcements for you. First of all, you might notice that we have a lot of flowers in here. We have the beautiful ones here, and we have the ones over there. We have bright yellow flowers in the baptismal font because we are announcing the joyful arrival of the newest part of our congregation. Amy Freeman gave birth this past week to a healthy and wonderful son named Les Freeman IV. So mother and son, and I think sister and father are all doing well. So those flowers there in the font are in their honor.
Good morning, saints. The band's next gig is March 2nd. If you're still thinking about joining us in the band, we would love to have you. I have music today. Just see me in coffee hour.
I know when you see a woman wearing a scarlet letter, you think she's been up to no good. I'm Michelle Gillette, and actually this stands for Nominating Committee. There are three of us on the Nominating Committee. Wendy Nicolosi, she thought it stood for her name, but I had to. She is also on the Nominating Committee, and Ann Roy, who is not here, is on the Nominating Committee. And the three of us would like you to think hard about what committee you would like to serve on this coming year. In your bulletin, you'll see there is an announcement of the Opportunity Fair, which is next Sunday. This is such an important part of our church life that, you know, if people don't sign up, we feel like we're not doing our job. So we're here for you to talk to, for you to ask questions, even just to brainstorm a little bit. Next week, there will be heads of each committee at a table to tell you, give you more information. But this is really a huge part of our church life. So in the next week, we'd like you to think about, pray about, really consider where your skills and gifts are, what interests you the most, and where you can contribute the most to the church. If you want to talk to us after a coffee hour, we'll be here. And you can call us or email us if you have any questions at all. So please do think about it. Thank you.
John and I are in the phase where the books and the doctors tell us that we ought to try the cry it out process. So if I fall asleep in worship, that will explain a lot. It also will explain why John, who wanted to make an announcement, is not here. The baby cried it out quite a bit last night. Jake is fine, but is sleeping this morning. But what John asked me to announce is to let you know that he and Nancy worked hard on something that you should have seen this week. Our new weekly announcement has a new format, a new look. It is designed to fit better on mobile devices, on computers, on formatting, and all that sort of thing. Both John and Nancy would love to know, since there are tons of different computers and iPads and everything out there, is it working for you? And if it's not, if it's coming through in a jumbled way, please either get in touch with Nancy or John, and they will be happy to take yet another crack at it. Friends, this is the time of the day that is made for worshiping, and so our next act of worship will be to invite all of the children to come on forward and join me right over here. Come on up. And you could sit over here and face me this way. I did notice it, and I like it a lot. So Morgan is wearing a scarf this morning. Does anybody from last week who was here remember what we're supposed to think of every time we see that scarf? What are we supposed to think of? Kindness, to be nice to other kids and other people, especially people who are different from us, right? It's a rainbow, and so that's what that is for. Now, I have a fair warning to tell you today. Today, I'm going to ask you some questions about choosing things. Unfortunately, if you choose it, you don't get to go home with it. But there will be some questions I have for you today, okay? So today, the sermon and our reading is going to be based on a passage where Moses, the great leader from the Old Testament, tells the people that they have to make a choice. They have to choose either one thing or the other. And so I'm going to ask you this morning to help the congregation figure out how we might make some choices, okay? All right, so my first question for you is, if you were going to choose a plant, would you choose this plant or would you choose that plant? Which one? Now, most people are choosing this one. Why would you choose this one over this one? It does look prettier. Any other reason? What's that? This one's dry. In fact, it's very close to not being a plant anymore, isn't it? So, okay, so the first one, we're going to pick this one. All right, I think that's a wise choice. Okay, now, if you had to have a snack, would you pick this bowl or this bowl? This one? Why? Well, you can't. You could make onion rings. So if you had a deep fryer, you could make onion rings. But without that, these probably taste better, right? I mean, a raw onion would probably not taste very good. Okay, all right, so you did well on that choice. So I have one more choice for you. Now, you could either choose this rock right here, or you could choose whatever is inside this package. Which one do you pick? Okay, who wants to open the package? I saw your hand first. What's in the package? Yeah, it's a tricky cover. Can you get it? There's just a piece of paper. Yeah, no, I think that's all that's in there. So here's the thing. Sometimes choices are easy, right? We have the choice between these plants or what to snack on. Sometimes the choices aren't so easy. What shape is this heart? Or what shape is this rock? What do you think it is? Oh, you're very, very smart. Thank you. So sometimes we see something that we're familiar with or that we like, and instead we choose something that looks flashier or fancier or prettier. One of the things that God wants us always to remember is that there are some things that might not be easy or pretty, but something like love is something that we should always choose, even if it isn't quite as exciting as something else, because sometimes the exciting things turn out to be not so much. And so what I want you to remember this morning is to think about all the things you learn in Sunday school. Think about all the things you learn in church about how God calls us to live. And I think the most important one of those things is to love each other. And sometimes remember that loving each other, even though it may not be fun or fancy or creative, is the better choice to make. Okay? All right. Let us gather and let us hold hands, and we'll close our time by saying the Lord's Prayer, and then you can head off to Sunday school. If you know this prayer, you can say it out loud with us. If you don't know, listen, and we'll teach it to you. All right, let us all pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you can all go off to Sunday school now.
Our reading from today comes from Deuteronomy. The reading captures the final words of the final teachings of Moses to the people of Israel. It takes place on the plains of Moab, on the very edge of the Promised Land. There, Moses gathered the entire people of Israel together and preached a sermon that takes about 26 chapters of Deuteronomy to tell. Hear now how Moses ends that great sermon. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in God's way, and observing God's commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and to serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and to possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding him fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So endings matter. Ask any sports fan, and they will tell you that endings matter. They will tell you about that magical year in football when their team won every single game in the regular season, where that team marched through the playoffs, where that team made it all the way to the Super Bowl. And, well, then endings mattered. Talk to music buffs, and they will tell you about how the way Tchaikovsky chose to end his great final symphony versus the way Beethoven ended his mattered a lot too. Book lovers will tell you that how an author wraps up a book, how that story finishes, it matters. And more importantly, brain experts will tell you that you will remember a whole lot from the way a story starts, that you will not remember so much from the middle, but you are going to remember and be informed by the ending most of all. Now, Hollywood, they know this too. Studios often write and film multiple endings to the movies. They take those endings and they show them to focus groups, and if they don't get exactly the reaction that they want, they will rewrite, re-edit, reshoot, and do it again and again until they get it right, because Hollywood knows that endings matter. You know what? I firmly believe that Moses knew that endings matter. Moses, the one who knew God and led the people to freedom, he knew just how important endings are. And today's passage is a huge ending. The very words that Josh read for us this morning are the very last words of teaching and guidance that Moses ever said to the people of Israel. They are the very last words of, trust me, what was a very, very long sermon. I bet Moses stayed awake the night before thinking about those words. I bet he tossed and turned a little bit, knowing how important these words would be, and he wanted to get them right because he knew that they mattered. Moses was no brain expert, but he knew that the people remembered the beginning of their journey. He heard parents telling their children at night about that great night long ago, when the people crossed the Red Sea and left Pharaoh and his army behind, when Miriam danced and God led them by a pillar of fire. Moses knew that the people were going to remember this night too, that night that they stood on the plains of Moab, right next to the Jordan River, right across from the Promised Land. They knew he would remember the night that his life would come to an end and Joshua's leadership would begin. And so in these final words of an ending Moses knew mattered deeply, he talked about something that mattered a lot to him. Choices. Here in the end, Moses reminded the people of the importance of choices, of the reality that life is not just about great beginnings and dramatic endings. Life is about the tough part of getting from day to day, about all those choices in the middle of the unfolding stories of each and every one of our lives, the parts of our lives that those brain specialists will tell us are so easy to forget. And while Moses tells them here at the end that it all boils down to a simple choice, choosing life and prosperity rather than death and adversity, while he tells them that in the end, our final choice to either choose life or death matters, what Moses is really talking about and thinking about are all of the daily choices that have been made along the way, choices that are so easily forgotten in the drama of life. In this passage, I think what Moses is really thinking about and what kept him up late at night is he wants to remind the people about their long journey from Egypt. All of the choices they made. You know, the good ones, like where they all dedicated themselves there at Mount Sinai and pledged themselves in covenant to God. And then there were the bad ones, right? Like the fact that right there at the mountain, they also built a calf and bowed down to it. He remembers the beautiful choices that they made, like they all came together. And even though they were moving through the wilderness, somehow they constructed this beautiful traveling tabernacle out of what they had, gold and beautiful tapestries, and they made it happen. And he remembers the ugly choices, like how those Israelites complained virtually every day about something. Here at the end of his ministry and at the end of the edge of the Promised Land, Moses turns to them and says, folks, you got to choose. And while he gives them just one choice, Moses, throughout the last 26 chapters, has been telling the people that that one choice, choosing life or death, is actually the culmination of thousands of choices we make every day. This is not let's make a deal. I'll take behind what's curtain one or curtain two. What Moses is saying is that choosing life is the culmination of a thousand choices. Here's what Josh told us that Moses said. The root of that choice is loving God. We cannot choose life without loving God. The first choice in choosing life is indeed loving God. At the beginning of this great long sermon, in fact, you would have heard Moses start with what Jesus calls the great commandment. At the beginning of this sermon, Moses says, you need to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. It is the start of everything good. It is the start of life. It is what should frame all the choices we make. But if you listened, Moses never stopped with love. In both times in this passage, he went immediately from you should love God to you should obey God's commandments. Love and obedience to God are closely intertwined. Now, if Josh had read that entire 26-chapter sermon to you, you would have heard Moses say that obeying God, that loving God, that choosing life means living in love and respect and justice. It means choices that resonate far beyond coming to church on Sunday morning and singing with a joyful voice. It means the big and small choices we make from one day to the next. If Josh had read the whole sermon, you would have heard Moses say this. Choosing life means making big choices, like canceling the debts of the poor, pushing government to guard against excessive wealth, limiting punishment to protect human dignity, and paying employees fairly and promptly a living wage. You would have heard Moses say that those choices mean small things, like helping a neighbor's donkey who has fallen down. It means protecting the mother of a bird's nest. It means that if you are hungry and find yourself in a neighbor's garden, you know what? Go ahead and eat up. Eat to your heart's content. Just don't bring a container with you and cart that stuff from the garden with you. It also means if you're one of those people who have a garden, it means that you should leave part of your harvest in the field so when the hungry come along, they can find something. You would have heard Moses say some crazy things, like if you happen to be chopping wood in the forest and your axe head happens to fly off your axe and you didn't see the person standing over there, but that axe happens to hit him in the head, well, Moses tells you exactly what you need to do in that circumstance. Come ask me later, I'll tell you what it is. There are also some joyful things that Moses talks about here in this passage. Like, for instance, that a newly married man should have at least one full year to spend with his bride before the king can conscript him and send him off to war. He should have at least one whole year with his bride. Moses says that there are festivals that we should remember and come together, and that the Sabbath should be for rest. It should be reflection, and for married people, it should also be for intimacy. You see, when Moses looked back on his life with the people and all of their choices, he noticed in those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness that life was best and most full when the people loved God with their whole hearts, because when they did that, they would love each other too. He noticed that choices made to enrich life brought life. And those that diminished love for God or love for neighbor, those choices brought death. Now, Moses was clear. Those choices were never labeled life or death. It's never quite that easy. It's never oranges versus onions. Instead, it is those little choices we make every day. And remember that when Moses looked back, he saw that the people didn't always make good choices. In fact, sometimes they made very bad choices. In fact, if you read the whole story, there were times where Moses had to plead to God not to just get rid of the people entirely. And you know what? I think that should give you and I hope. that we too can make some bad choices, in fact, some ugly choices, and yet a new choice and a chance for choice will come around tomorrow. Endings matter. And here at the end of Moses' ministry and, in fact, his life, he wanted people to remember that choices matter, that each and every choice matters, not just the big ones. So, friends, here's what I would say to you today. Look for the choices in life. Look for the chances to enrich your life. Look for the chance to learn things you never thought you could. Look for chances to laugh often, long, and loud. Look for chances to cry when it is right to cry. Walk around the block. Invite strangers to dinner. Apologize to someone, even and especially if what happened was mostly his fault. Have patience. Stop having patience when it's time to speak truth to power. Read poetry and stop doing anything that isn't beautiful or isn't worth the time. Worship with all your heart. Love this church. Hold on to the fact that church and God loves you too. See Christ in the people around you. Share God's love with someone who has forgotten it. See that every moment of life is holy. Delight in God's good gifts, and never, ever stop searching for something deeper and even better. Today, Moses says to us, God has set before us the choice between life and death, blessings and curses. Brothers and sisters, I pray, choose life. Amen. Please be seated. Through each busy moment, I would be constantly in touch with God. I would be tuned to sense God's slightest whisper. I would have faith to keep the path Christ trod. I would have faith to keep the path Christ trod. Those are the words we just sang in our hymn, and that is exactly what we do when we come together in a time of prayer. We take time out of our busy moments. We stay in touch with God. We be tuned to God's slightest whisper, and we find faith to keep the path that Christ trod. So today, as we come together in a time of prayer, I ask you what joys and concerns are on your hearts and minds, that you might share them with us and that we might pray them with you. What are your joys and concerns this morning? Yes. We recognize all who are suffering from winter storms, those who are without heat and power, and those who have lost their lives across the country. We pray for Joanne's friend Carolyn with hope and healing for her heart. We keep Katie and Kevin in our prayers and the hope of a new family. Yes. We give prayers for your dad that he has come through the surgery, for him to keep healing, and that he might come home. We pray a prayer of joy for Anne Hutchinson and her mom's birthday. It may even be her 94th. It may be her 84th, but it may be her 94th birthday today. And they are together as a family and celebrating that day. So we pray for them on their celebrations.
I'd like to pray for my nephew, Blake. He's a baby that gets fed by a feeding tube, and he hasn't been doing too well lately. He's in the hospital. So
we keep your nephew, Blake, in our prayers that he might find healing and wholeness as well. Yes. We keep the West of England and Wales in our prayer as they are currently under water. We give thanks for Les and his arrival and that the family is doing well. We pray for both success and safety of our Olympians and that the game might be a success and bring peace. Yes. We give thanks that Carrie has come through her surgery and that the prognosis is good. I give thanks that Don and Debbie are back with us and our prayers remain with you on the loss of your mother. Know that we hold you in our hearts and in our hands. Yes. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. We pray for Rick and Don Weber. Yes. We pray for your mother who has been quarantined. Is that what you said? And is okay. We will keep her in our prayers and hope for healing for her. Yes, Jackie. We give thanks for your mother and the gift she is to your life and to all of our lives, and we pray that she might find the strength to be able to go back home. Friends, let us take a moment of silence to let all of those prayers wend into our hearts and into our minds. merciful and loving God. We come together this morning as a humble people. We come together this morning as a faithful people. We come together this morning, most importantly, as your people. God, we are awed by the world in which we live, we move, and have our being. We are overwhelmed by the fact that disasters happen, that wars rage, that loving relationships shatter, that babies cry. We mourn that we turn away from you and from your people for absurd reasons of our own making. Yet, God, in the midst of all of that and even more, we know that risks are taken, that justice somehow breaks out, and that peace remains possible. So we come here to your holy house to seek guidance for the living of our days. God, you have breathed life into us. You have trusted us and set us free to make our own choices, to live into our own lives. We confess sometimes, God, that we would rather not bear that responsibility. We confess that sometimes we feel overwhelmed or even scared. We confess, God, that sometimes we do not make the choice of life. Guide us, gracious God, into a life that sides with truth, that rejoices in justice. Teach us to be co-creators with you of a world where a new baby's cry is an announcement that your holy order of justice and love and peace will prevail. Keep watch over us, God, and forgive our sins. Remind us that we are all both flawed and loved. Inspire us to cling to you and to one another, that we might find the gift of peace, of joy, of love, and even prosperity. God bless all we are and all we might yet be. We pray all these things to you in the name of our brother and teacher, our Lord and our Savior, the one we know as Jesus. And let us all say, Amen. Moses were here, if he were to teach you about what you should bring for an offering, he would tell you to bring in a calf. He would tell you to bring in that calf and to bring it right up here. He would tell you to go out to your fields and find the ripest, freshest fruit possible and to pick it and to bring it in. He would tell you to bring in the best grain that you have. He would tell you to bring in sacks of grain and bring them here. He would tell you to bring in turtle doves. He would tell you to bring in wine, and he would tell it to bring it all and give it. I don't think it would fit. But here's what Moses is actually telling you. What Moses is actually telling you is to bring the things that are precious to you, bring the things that are meaningful to you, bring the things that show just how much God loves you and how much you love God right back. Give them, bring them, and give them away with a smile on your heart. Enjoy deep in your soul. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received.
Jesus calls us for our joy, our restless sea.
God, it is with joy and gratitude that we return to you what you have first given us. God, bless these gifts that they may go forth from this place as ministries of love and kindness. And bless all who have gathered here and all who have given these gifts that we may be touched and changed and transformed by your love. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, our time of worship here within these walls is drawing to a close, that our worship of God might begin anew beyond these walls. Before you leave, before you go back out into the cold snow, I invite you to come through these doors and join us for some fellowship. I invite you to meet someone you have not known yet. I invite you to talk to women with scarlet ends on their chest, and I invite you to talk to band conductors looking for instrumentalists. Friends, let us close our worship in song. In the book of Numbers, right before Deuteronomy, Moses teaches the very first priest and pastor, Aaron, how to bless the people. It is that blessing that I leave you with today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And let the whole church say, Amen.